Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
I must be honest with you and tell you that that song certainly has been for a very, very long time and in my space, of course, in the church over the years, right? From 1998, by the way. I've been in this SDA thing, you know. But that song for me is one of my favorites. You know, I grew up listening to that song, of course, and you know, hope that you loved it as well as much as I loved it. I was you know, kind of enjoying it alone right here in studio. But nonetheless, it's not about me. It is 11 minutes after 7 p.m. this evening. Welcome to Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. The name of the show, it is A Business Sense with me, Thapelo Mlo. You and I had been best of buddies from 6 p.m. this evening, and we're about to get into our final hour of the show, and we're talking about a very important topic which has to do with the business of farming. I was looking at this particular thing about the business of farming. It is estimated that in South Africa there are approximately 2 million small holders of household farmers as well, compared to 35,000 which are commercial growers. Now, according to a report that was released by Stats South Africa measuring food security in South Africa, of course applying the food insecurity experience scale, almost 23.6% of South Africans in 2020 were affected by moderate to severe food insecurity, while about 14.9% experience severe food insecurity. Now, that is a problem, right? It just speaks problems. The moment you speak about food insecurity, and these numbers are very, very high, probably 23.6% in 2020, but now in 2022, with the rising cost of food, with the rising cost of electricity, with the rising cost of petrol, for instance, and everything associated with that, one might even just project that the figures could look even much more higher. So today we are talking to Mr. AJ Mtembu. He is the president of the African Farmers Association of South Africa, and he's here this evening to talk to us about this very important topic of business of farming, but also help us understand what they are doing as an organization, of course, in this very important topic of farming. Good evening, sir.
A very good evening to you, Thapelo, and your listeners throughout the world.
Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. How are you doing today?
What a pleasure to be here. And I am well and in good health and ready to share with your listeners the significance of the job that God himself gave to us.
That's very true. That's very true. And I heard you had a very busy day today.
It's always been busy.
Yeah.
Because when you deal with the issue of food, you must know that people must eat every day.
Yes.
Therefore, if people must eat every day, it then requires that you should be a busy bee.
A busy bee, indeed. That's very good. Someone has argued that being busy is actually a godly thing. So I suppose, you know, being busy is actually not a bad thing. Thank you so much, sir, for taking the time to join us this evening. We really, really appreciate it. But before we get into this very complicated topic, and one that is, of course, close to my heart, because the moment we talk about food security, we're talking about a topic that's close to my heart. And it sounds like it's a topic also that's very close to your heart as well. And I think, like you correctly said it, the Lord has put you there in that position for a very good reason. Now, tell us a little bit about yourself. Maskulumango Babu Mtembu, who are we talking about?
Maybe before Singene Babu Mtembu, I think it's important to the issue, when God created heaven and earth, he then created a garden for us to look after the garden. So if you are talking about God ordained work, it is to be a farmer.
Okay.
So I follow that thought process that every human being must eat. Therefore, when you work with hands, when you work with land, when you work with creation, now you will have God as your partner, working with you side by side. With you to make sure that his people are fed. So that is what brought me into the space. But this is not where I started.
Okay.
AJ Mtembu, originally, I come from a location in Pietermaritzburg, in Bali. I grew up But the love for gardening started a while ago when I attended Bethel College in Transkei by then, the Adventist school, whereby we were developed to be balanced, both physically, mentally, and spiritually. So all the time there will be time after school where we'll be going to the garden. Each one will be given a plot to work in the garden. At the time, it wasn't a nice place to be.
I'm sure.
Others will wake up in the morning to milk the cow so that we can have the milk at the scullery. As one was looking into those things during that process of making, one maybe did not realize that it is indeed God's call to work within his vineyard of agriculture. But then after that, after matriculating at Bethel, then I went into become a teacher. After being a teacher, then started my own business. I was into franchise.
Okay.
The last one, before I came to farming, I was the president of the taxi industry.
Yes.
And that is a space that I enjoyed the most. Because I did not have to fight with my pastors for the pulpit.
Okay.
I always had my pulpit in that sector.
Yeah.
Whereby people would not see the relevance of God in the taxi
industry.
But
yes.
I'm telling you, it was the marvelous period of my time.
Sure.
Because I was able to share the word of God, utilizing the very taxi industry. And it was. So now here I am. God has placed me in the sector now of agriculture. And this is the sector where one is operating. As I've indicated, I'm based in Pietermaritzburg. My farm is also in Pietermaritzburg. It's a family farm. I'm running with my wife and my children. I've got 12 children, six boys and six girls. I've realized that there is no one who's going to create employment. And we cannot keep on asking for government to give employment to our children. But we must be the creation of employment ourselves. And moreover, as Seventh-day Adventist, it's important that we become the employer so that as we rest, our employee rests with us. But it becomes very difficult if you want to rest in a haphazard way at work because we are not in control. That the Lord has blessed us with this farm and we are really happy that way in the space.
Sure. Thank you so much for that very comprehensive introduction. Now, I just want to explore this one just a little bit, and please indulge me here, my elder, on the taxi one, because you mentioned something very important, that this was your pulpit for you, of course, to continue the work that you do. But there is a stereotype against the taxi industry. What is the one stereotype that you would say you want to just blow out of the window?
In the sector of taxi industry, most people, whilst I was there, they always think I was hired in there. I did not belong into that sector. Because, as you know, taxi industry is known for all the negative things. And yet, it is the driver of the economy. It is the nerve of the country. The movement of people around that sector. You can only see the difference when it is not there. But in most of the time, it is due to the perception, but maybe not only the perception, the reality of how things comes out to be. But the space that I enjoyed most was the capability to change the mindset.
Yeah,
because I would have a session to say, you know what, for your factory to be operating at 6 o'clock, somebody has to be up at 4 o'clock. So that by the time you go, so if you drive on the street, it caters to them as well. Because they provide such an essential service. But another thing also, it was to instill the value in them. Because most of the guys were saying, when you ask them, where are you working? Normally, they won't say, I'm working at the taxi industry. They'll say, no, I'm just there for it. It's a temporary thing.
Yes.
And therefore, it was important to change paradigm shift. Because indeed, the taxi industry is the vibrant of the nation. That's where things are happening. But the last one that I like most about them I always refer to it even now.
Mm.
You see, the tech industry, they are action orientated.
Okay.
New model, they make a research to see whether that mall would need a transport or not.
Mm.
Once they see people, they know that people are going to need transport.
Yes.
The workers, they are going to need transport. There's somebody that must go then provide food for the worker.
Mm.
Therefore, in that morning, they start sending the first taxi in. By the end of the day, the taxis will be operational. So the one thing that I love most about practicality, when you see the need, you instantly provide a solution that is required there.
Definitely, definitely. That's amazing. And of course, you know, a lot of people that know me would know I have a very much big love and respect for the taxi industry. Of course, I think there's certain things here and there. Like any other industry, it's not perfect, and
obviously,
it's not driven by perfect people as well. There'll obviously be annoyances here and there, you know, some of the things perhaps that are beyond our control and all those sort of stuff. But I think you've painted such a beautiful picture of the taxi industry. Now, if we were then, before we get into the farming side, how would you say your background has influenced yourself and also the industry that you are now in?
To be honest with you,
yeah,
I became a farmer by default.
Okay.
It's not something that I was aspiring for.
It's
not something that I grew up in this space. In fact, both these lines, for me, they came by default.
Okay.
Starting with the text industry itself.
Yeah.
I was a teacher at a point.
Mm.
I was into business. I ran chicken licking franchise after I moved out of school.
Mm.
I had franchises. And I then started the taxi as a cash cow because I liked the daily cash that got there.
Mm.
But I think what happened, the only problem that I made was to attend one of the meetings.
Okay.
When I attended one of the meetings, then I don't remember what was the challenge that they were talking about there. Obviously, you know that God always inspires some thinking that is not usual with other people.
Mm.
So even if you say something that you think was normal, then people begin to take attention to that.
Mm.
And I must tell you, from there, that's when I started my trouble.
Mm.
Because I then moved from there. Within 1 year, I was the president of the organization.
Sure.
They literally headhunted me to say, we want you to come and help us here.
Mm.
But all that aspect, I didn't realize that God in that sector, which is known for any other thing that is negative, so that even in that space, one can continue to glorify his name. So the tower got there. Now, when I was in the taxi industry again, I continued running there. I did a lot of things that people keep on asking me today. I launched an aeroplane. We're about to launch the boat. We changed the whole perception and the whole dynamics within the sector. But then when I realized that I was too ahead in terms of thinking and the one that I was leading, we're not because this issue of aeroplane, people then thought it.
Can I ask you, my leader, if you can move around a little bit? We are losing you there.
You're losing me?
Yes, now you're back. There was a little bit of a disturbance there. Yeah.
Sorry about that.
All right.
I played my space and I needed. I could feel that I was quite ahead of the people that I was leading. They did not understand all complete transformation is all about. Because now we are moving from taxi to transport.
Okay.
Whatever means of transport, we must be there. Whether people get into a bus, we must have a hand there. Into a train, into a plane. Let us not be fixated into the mode. But rather, let's participate across the transport.
The transport sector. Yeah.
But obviously, as I realized that there were frictions and traction that we drew, then I left the taxi industry. When I left the taxi industry, my wife has been on an ongoing thing with this farming thing. Let's buy a farm. I said, hey, but farm is hard work.
Mm.
Farm requires some skills that you might not have.
Mm.
But after that, when I left Santaco, the taxi organization, we then bought a farm.
Mm.
And I'm saying to you, I so wish I had been here longer. It gave me such a peace of mind to work with nature. It was so fulfilling. I so wish I could turn the clock. As much as I thought I was into something serious in the taxi space, but when I went into agriculture, it was a space whereby I was just reflecting back on the issues that I had in the taxi industry. It gave me that peace of mind, that calmness. So in both these worlds, I got into them by default. Because I only bought a farm because I needed a space and a place not to be in the hustlings and bustling of the city, but to be out there and just reflect and ask God, where must I go from here? That is how I then find myself into the farming community again.
Sure. And what year was this?
This was in 2010.
In 2010. So ever since 2010, you've been a farmer.
Since 2010, I've been enjoying this life here like nobody's business. I've been a farmer, very hardworking indeed, I must say, because you work extra hours. But that is run within me. You see, there's one person whom I'll always pay allegiance to is my mother. My mother was my mother has been my best teacher. He taught me as from an early age to wake up in the morning and do my chores before I go to school. Mother was an entrepreneur who would sell each and everything. So that things with me. So working hard and working awkward hours is something that was running in me. So this is the one thing that I always advise people, especially those who are working 8 to 4, when they say, now I don't want to work anymore. I want to go and have my own business so that I can control my time.
Yeah.
I always advise them, stick there. Because where you think you're going, it's even harder than where
it's
you are.
Harder.
At least at 8 to 4, I heard you say you are now running your last hour. After your hour has gone, you can go and do other things.
Yes.
But in a farming space, you are forever on duty.
Yeah.
Because life will call for you to be there all the time.
Yes. that's a beautiful analogy. For those of you who have just joined us, welcome to Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SID Media. And of course, this is Business Sense with me, Tapelomolo. You can talk to us on 073-470-3520, 073-470-3520. It is +27 734-703-520. For those of you who are listening to us outside of South Africa, we're seeing growing numbers, of course, outside of South Africa. So thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it. If you do want to talk to us, you start with +27 734-703-520. On Twitter, our handle is @AWRSID_media. We're talking about a very important topic this evening, which is the business of farming, right? And we're talking to Mr. AJ Mtembu, giving us just the insights that I think so far I've learned a lot, and I've been scribbling here furiously in studio some of the things that you've mentioned so far. I just want us then to get into this particular one, Mr. Mtembuguti. What exactly do you farm and why?
When I bought this farm,
this
farm was into crop production.
Okay.
All the crops. And the good thing about them was that I did not only, I took two things from the guy, the white guy that I bought from. Firstly, the skills of production.
Okay.
Secondly, the market that he was servicing.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So how I started, I said, if it is not broken, let's not fix it.
Yes.
We continue to produce the crops.
Okay.
And especially the green mealies.
Mm-hmm.
The green mealies, we do not even have to go out. The packies will come and queue for mealies just to you cut and load. Same thing that was happening to the cabbage. Butternut will take it to the market directly. So I started with the line where he was. Cattle. Because now after I've harvested my cabbages, I will have a lot of leftovers on the field.
Yes.
I started buying, the first lot that I bought for cattle were 7 Brahman cattle.
Okay.
I bought those 7 Brahman cattle, which were just my sweepers, so that when I finish harvesting, they can end there. My intent was just to fatten them up and then sell them at a later stage. But as they were growing, before I know it, there were 14 of them.
Sure.
Before I know it, there were 21.
Sure.
Now I've got about 245.
Sure.
Even though I started buying more on top of that, even though that was not my call, but I had a different breed, wanting to see which one would work best in my area. Remember, on cattle or any other thing, you do not just buy that because you like it.
Yeah.
It must be something that is relevant to your area.
Yeah.
You must know your area, because, for instance, where I am in the Tanzania area, there are a lot of ticks. So you don't buy animal with long hair.
Yeah.
Your animal must have short hair, so that it, because it's hot in winter, and ticks are the one that brings a lot of diseases to animals. So I started a trial and error. I was just mixing everything. I had some goonies. Goonies were eating a lot of grass, but they were remaining the same. There was no conversion. I got into Bonsmaras. I got into Borans. So I end up having a different breed that were there, which I still keep at this point in time. But I was continuing on the horticulture side. But then 2 years ago, I started eating on oats. When I was doing my research, I discovered that KZN, we eat 1.6 million per annum.
1.6 million of what, Melda? We lost you there.
1.6 of goats.
Oh, goats. 1.6 million of goats.
Yes.
Okay.
1.6 million goats is what is consumed in KZN. But we do not have a breeder of goats in KZN.
Yeah.
All the goats, we buy them from outside.
Yeah.
The majority of them coming from Namibia, Northern Cape, Kimberley, all that side, those are the goats that are consumed. We call them the Boer goats in KZN. So I made a research on these goats to say, why aren't we having these goats here? And the report was saying, you can't breed Boer goats in our area.
Okay.
Because it is dense, they need dry area for them to survive. But also I made a research on the goat meat itself, because goat is eaten for ritual purposes most of the time. I haven't seen a goat in a shop. But when I was doing an analysis to check the health benefit of the nutrients of the goat versus the sheep, it was chalk and cheese.
Okay.
The goat's nutritious value is almost double that of a sheep. Even it's all its product, the milk, everything. But then I said, if that's the case, then why don't we have goats production? Or why don't we have goats in the shops? Then I started that journey. I went in, I looked into goats, and this is the space where I am now. Currently, my target, I've just built up a structure to host 2,000 goats, but I've started with 1,000 this year.
Sure.
And it is going very well. That is where now my direction is. I'm not only talking goats just to trade them, but we are going to agro-process them.
Yeah.
I want people to go to the shop and buy goat's chops. Because remember, when God created food, it was supposed to be our medicine. And we know that these days, all the diseases that we have, is because of the food that we eat.
That's true.
The goat is a browser. It eats the herbs. By the time you eat the goat, you are eating those herbs that the goat has eaten for you. You can even look at the behavior of goats and sheep. Sheep, they only eat the grass. And even their reaction, you can see that it's quite common between us and the sheep. We're timid. We're not active and spring like goats are. So but it's just that the goats have been brushed with the brush of tradition. If you think goat, if you say I've got a goat, they think there should have been a tradition somehow.
Mm.
And yet, it's not the case. Goat is just a very healthy meat. That is where now we are focusing as a family in terms of goat. We are not only breeding them, we are training people on how to grow them. Because people thought that you cannot grow poor goats in KZN. Mm. We are into poor goats, and we are the biggest producer of good goats in KZN currently.
Sure. That's really amazing. That's really amazing. And I'm thinking we've got listeners that are listening right now and saying, sure. So this sounds really, really great. And of course, I've even got my producer here who was texting me. We need to get your promos in there. But I wanted to ask this question. How difficult then, or maybe let's say, what are the major challenges that one would face if they are to get into this farming business?
Maybe I will mix my question into two.
Yeah.
Firstly, as the leader of the Black Farmer organization, the major problem that even those who are passionate about farming is access to land.
Okay.
Access to land remains a huge stumbling block.
Mm.
Unless you're talking about someone planting 1 hectare, one home, kind of a thing, just for his own consumption. Mm. But I'm talking about someone who wants to look into agriculture as an income generation mechanism.
Yes.
You can't do that without land. Now, government has been embarking on buying land from the white counterparts to give it to black people, but the pace has been extremely slow.
Yeah.
Secondly, for those who has happened to get the land, then there's an issue of water. Because for you to be able to produce, you need both the land and water. But that is not enough. When you think you've got the land and water, you then realize that you need the resources, the money. For you to buy your input so that you are able to plant. When you have managed to pass that hurdle again, you have planted. Your next problem now is, where do I sell this produce that are on the field? The market access. Because in South Africa, remember that we are, even though we are 28 years into democracy, but the systems of food, the food systems in particular, are monopolized such that the entry to it becomes extremely difficult. Now, that is why even the aspiring black farmers who want to make a big difference with all the knowledge, these are the hindrances that they find. But this is what we are working on as the organization, because now we've been working for the last year on the agricultural master plan, which we launched last year. The purpose of it is to deal fundamentally with two things. The first one is an inclusive growth, which says let us grow the economy of the country in the agricultural sector, both all of us, irrespective of color. Two, we need transformation. We need to balance the imbalances of the past. Because we know that the commodity of land and the commodity of water, we were all given by God to use it so that we are able to deal with the issue of food. You mentioned something earlier when you're talking about food security. You see, it's a very interesting thing. As a country, as South Africa, we are food secured. We are food secured, but in spite of that, we have a lot of insecure communities within the country in terms of food. How possible could that be? Obviously, it's because of poverty, inaccessibility, because of resources. Now, what is happening? Other people are having food, but food which is not nutritious. Because they can't access to nutritious food. Obviously, you know the level of unemployment in the country. So what we are saying in the issue of transformation, let us all begin to work together. I call it a zebra synergy. That God brought us all together all colors, with all different skills, so that when we put our skills together, we'll then be able to make this place a better place for everybody.
Sure, that's beautiful. For those of you who have just joined us again, this is Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. The name of the show, it is A Business Sense with Tapelo Mloi. We are talking about a very important topic, which is the business of farming. I've got a question, Mr. Mtimbu from Anonymous. Do you farm pigs or pork?
I do not do porks nor pigs on the basis that it is against my religion. I can't give that which I cannot have myself.
Okay.
So anything that would be contrary to my belief, I would not sell it just because I need money out of it.
Mm.
So I check the food that God has given to us so that it's a food. Remember, even the meat part, that's a secondary food. God had originally given us plant as our food.
Mm.
But after the flood, then the meat was introduced. But even then, that is why it's important to say which type, what kind of meat do we do. So yeah. I don't do pork at
all. Okay. All right. No, that's beautiful. Then what role do you think government should play in fostering farming in South Africa, particularly, like you said, good farming? We are food secure, but we're not getting healthy food. Is there a role for government?
You see, if you can look into the history of South Africa, on Monday, the minister was launching blended finance by Land Bank.
Mm.
Land Bank is 100 years old.
Yeah,
Land Bank was started by the apartheid government. Its core function was a developmental phase to see how bank can help the farmers. So the farmers that you see today who have grown in leaps and bounds, they were supported by the government of the day.
Yeah.
It's not like they used the best skills ever. No. There was a resort focus from the government, from their government, to say, let us occupy this space because we know whatever skill that would be needed, anybody, ultimately, they must have food. Therefore, let us hold on to that.
Mm.
So that is what so even now, if we want to create the balance of those imbalances, there must be a concerted effort by the government to have a meaningful role that they play in the space of the transformation.
Mm.
I must say, they are in that space. There is always a narrative that says we must tread softly because if we do this, the white counterparts might run away with the skills and we might find ourselves in a predicament situation. But the fact of the matter is our government also, to try and level the balance to a certain degree, they must be more than what they are doing now.
Mm.
But beside the government, my approach is in two prongs.
Mm.
Is to engage the white counterparts that are there already.
Mm.
To say, for the sake of our children, the system of economy that we have, the parallel system of economy we have in agriculture, is not sustainable.
Mm.
At a point, people will revolt.
Mm.
And for us to avoid such thing happening, it's important that we begin to converge our focus, to converge our operation, so that we all work together. Because at the end of the day, it's not the government that holds the land.
Mm.
It's not the government that holds a large quantity of water.
Mm.
It's the white counterparts whom they use the law to do that. As much as we need the law to change that, but there is more that we can gain if, as South Africans, we can put the color one side and deal with the issue that we are all God's children, and God's purpose is for us to use the resources that He blessed us for the benefit of everybody.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. 0734703520. 0734703520. That's the number that you can use to WhatsApp us right here on Business Sense on Adventist World Radio. We are powered by SIT Media. We're still talking to the president of the African Farmers Association of South Africa, Ubabu Mthembu, and is helping us understand this business of farming, how we can get into it. I have two direct questions. We're just running out of time, Mr. Mthembu, but I have two direct questions. How difficult was it for you to raise funding for the farm that you, I suppose, for the farm that you have? And then the other question was, are young people getting into the farming space?
Let me start with the last one.
Yeah.
The approach, maybe let me even start on the other area that you, I'll come backward.
Okay.
Now, for instance, the question is, how do I get started in the farming? I want to get started. I'm a young person. I was working somewhere. Now I want to start to be in the sector. How, where, and how do I get started? Firstly, there is a program by government.
Okay.
What do they do? They buy land for people.
Okay.
Complete. You only lease it for 30 years. They buy for you. You lease it for 30 years. The next question, how do I get to buy? How do I get into that space so that they buy me land? Who is eligible for that? Number one, the focus is on young people. Young people take precedence together with women. The third group being people with disability. The fourth group being MKVA.
Okay.
And lo and behold, the last one being male.
Okay.
Now, the thing that is important, I've been teaching people this thing lately.
Yeah.
That, you know, the fact that we are number five, especially as men, that shouldn't create a problem, because farming is a family business.
Yes. Yeah.
If farming is a family business, if they require youth, my daughter or my son will lead the pack. We will support her as parents. If they need women, my wife will lead the pack. Myself and my children will support her. But it's very difficult to be in the sector if you are not operating as a family unit. Now,
nice.
In terms of young people, they few opportunities within the sector.
Yeah.
Because grants, which are earmarked specifically for young people. The majority coming from outside our borders. Last year, we were working with the embassy of France.
We are once more losing you, Mael. I don't know if you can move again. I think what you're sharing there is very, very important. So I really want our listeners to hear it fully. I don't know if you can move around. Okay, so you said there are grants. We can hear you. You said there are grants that are earmarked for young people.
I think there are grants which are earmarked specifically for young people.
Yeah.
And the majority of those grants are even coming outside of our shores.
Oh, I see.
Whereby they want smart agriculture.
Yeah.
Because now there's 4IRs now. In terms of the smart agriculture, using the drones, remember, I told about the climate change. So the water is getting scarce. Creating specialized seed that will be able to thrive under tough conditions.
Yeah.
The different mechanism of planting, whereby the vertical and horizontal aquaponics and hydroponics. You know, we're used to them. To the usual way of digging and planting, and yet there are a lot of new avenues that are out there, and people who are able to grasp them better are the young people. Now that is why, as AFASA, we are pushing a three-pronged approach.
Okay.
Firstly, our focus is on young people. Secondly, our focus is on women. Thirdly, our focus is on commodities. When I'm talking commodities, we're grouping people to get into a specialized area. Those who are in grain, we put them together so that they understand all the nitty-gritty of grain, those who are into red meat and so on and so forth. So these are the key focus area. So for people that want to join AFASA, for instance, it's only cost 300 rand per annum.
Okay.
Per annum, but what is the significance? It's because you are sitting at the nerve of where information flows.
Okay.
Because all the programs from government, they come through us.
Okay.
Our duty, our main focus is lobbying policies and advocacy. So that the policies that seek to empower young people are being implemented. The policies that empowers black farmers in particular are being implemented. For instance, when we talk about the blended finance, it's one that part. The blended finance is now trying to balance the people that does not have capital. Remember, when you go to the bank, you want money to start business, they ask you more than what you have.
Yes.
Now, blended finance is a mixture of grant and loan. If, for instance, you want R1 million, you don't need to show any sureties because government is going to give you 600,000.
Okay.
Then when all you have to do is to service their 400,000.
Okay.
So they are saying to the bank, no, we are secured now. Here's his contribution.
Yeah.
It's government contributing on your behalf.
Okay.
So that it makes it easier for you to get into this space. Because otherwise, the major challenge that black farmers and black individuals are faced with is an issue of access to funding. It becomes difficult, and yet that is where things begin to flow. So we are trying to get all those means to say, how best can we assist? Because we know young people are coming from school, they don't have resources.
Yes.
Other people that have been retrenched, they are trying to get into agriculture to get started. They don't have working capital. How then do we assist them so that they use the skills that God has given them to be able, firstly, to produce food for themselves and later to produce food for others as well?
I want us to explore this particular one. You're saying the government is offering 600,000 and you would be servicing the 400,000, right? So that you can take that to the bank and all those sort of stuff. And I love the point that you made that, I mean, 300 rand a year is literally next to nothing. A lot of people spend that eating it out on one particular night. And so for it to be used effectively to get more information, the lobbying for finance and all those sort of stuff, I think it's 300 rand that is worth people getting into it. But I wanted us to then explore this one in the few minutes that we have. I have a farm that I saw, and I'm sure you'd agree with me, farms are very expensive, right? Is 600,000 from government the cap, or there's more, or how do they apply that particular, how do they get to 600,000?
No. It was an example.
Okay,
It's a 60-40. I was just making an example of it.
Okay.
It's a 60-40. If something is 3 million, government will put in 60% of that.
Oh, I see.
You will service 40% of it.
Yes.
It's a 60-40 split.
Oh, I see.
So because it makes you to bring more onto the table.
Yes.
But for now, that process is happening through Land Bank.
Okay.
And the focus area is black people in particular.
Okay.
Because any other people can go to any other banks that are out there and pay the rate that is there.
Yes.
But here, it's meant to try as one of the mechanisms to create the balance for those who might not have a startup capital to start doing that. So in fact, if people can go into Land Bank, they'll be able to see, because it just opened now, to say who is eligible to apply, what are the requirements for you to be there. But as I'm saying, I want to take this opportunity to invite young people.
Sure.
To say, young people, this opportunity, there is no job out there. Let us be the creator of jobs. Let us feed the nation. Agriculture is a good space to be. It's just that when we grew up, we were penalized. We were punished by agriculture. And some of us ended hating agriculture. And yet, agriculture is the thing. Whether you're an engineer, whether you're a pilot, whether you're a scientist, at the end of the day, each person needs food in front of him. And young people and women are the people that should provide into that space.
I do not have any particular doubt, my leader, that why they chose you to be the president. Because I think the way you're articulating it, the way you're putting it across, you're making everyone to be very interested in it. And I myself have been very interested in it. And listening to you is just eye-opening for me. Like I said, I've been scribbling quite furiously, but listening to you is just eye-opening. Now, I am here and I'm sitting. I want to do this now. I'm going to go to the Land Bank website and start the process and all that. But I also want to be involved with AFASA as well. You said it's 300 rands. What's the process? How do I get involved?
You go to www.afasa.org.
Yeah.
And you'll see there you get your membership online.
Okay.
You get a membership online. It tells you how to become a member.
Mm.
Because the only reason why we've got more power when we are working united.
Yes.
Most people in isolation, there are things that you will wonder where to get this. And yet, if you are within the scheme, you will be able. We don't offer farms. We don't offer, but we offer information. We give you direction.
Mm.
I want to start this. Where do I go?
Mm.
This is the direction. I want this.
Mm.
So people must come from your area. We have province, we have offices in all the provinces, leadership in all the provinces, up to the local district. We start from the local to district, to provincial, to national, because our objective is to reach as deep as we can, because we want people, even if it is not for the sake of selling into the agriculture, but to eat nutritious food, and especially for Christians, it's important that you plant your own food, because the food that is being produced in mass numbers, it is toxic, even if you think you are eating vegetables.
Mm.
But the vegetables that you are eating are full of chemicals that we put. Therefore, I would want to say, let each one look at the back of his garden and start to till the land.
Mm.
Because that is one task that God has blessed us with, to work the land. When you put in the seed, you put in the water, then you partner with God. He will do the generation for you.
He will do the generation for you. Any last words to our listeners?
I want to say, Tapelo, firstly, thank you so much for inviting me into your show. And
indeed.
They say that the light does not lose its light by sharing with others. I would want, as I've indicated, especially for young people.
Mm.
I want young people to come in their numbers.
Mm.
They can... If there's a space and time that I have is to engage young people with their inquisitive mind to say, how best can we do this?
Mm.
The ideology of agriculture is something that is not cool.
Mm.
It needs to fly out of the window.
Yes,
I want
definitely.
To get every citizen in South Africa and wherever people hear me that God gave us the land.
Mm.
That's the only duty, that's the only task that God gave to man.
Mm.
Look after the garden.
Mm.
Because he knew that out of the garden, that is where we are going to get life.
Mm.
Let us not just eat food. Let us eat food as medicine so that we don't get sick by what we put into our mouth.
Sure, indeed, Emmanuel. I think this is the installment number one. Or part one, if you like. We still need another part two as well. I think there's a lot that you shared that we still need to get deeper and deeper and unpack quite a lot. But I think what you've shared for today, the Lord willing, is enough. And I pray and hope, like you said, that young people will look into ways in which they can then start actioning this, getting into agriculture and farming. It is, like you said, very challenging, but I think with people like yourself and the organization that you are part of as well, are there to assist young people to actually navigate this this particular space. In Zulu we say ndlelibuzo kwaba phambili, and I think by getting involved in with AFASA, for instance, and the likes of your leadership, they can get more information and navigate these waters much, much better. But I think we still need a part two. Please do not block us on your number. We shall certainly be reaching out into you for part two. But may God bless you and the organization, of course, the family as well, as you work in this space. We are certainly going to invite you back.
Tabelo, God bless you and your listeners, and I'm looking forward to convert you to be one of the farmers in the future.
Indeed, I love that.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, my elder. All the best.
God bless.
All right, then. That is Elder A.J. Mtembu. Beautiful, beautiful narration, beautiful story, beautiful everything that he shared with us in this particular space. I myself, my interest has been piqued quite a lot, I must say. And it's something that I also urge young people to look into. It is afasa.co.za. That's, of course, the website where you can go to talk to them. Well, this was a Business Sense right here on Adventist World Radio powered by SID Media. It is a Wednesday edition. I have certainly and thoroughly enjoyed the conversations that we had today, and I hope that you've enjoyed them as well. Thank you so much to my guests, and very importantly, thanks to each and every one of you that continues to join us right here on Business Sense. We do this again tomorrow when we do our Shapeshifters, but between 9 and now, you're more than welcome to talk to us on 073-470-3520. On Twitter, our handle is AWRSID_media. That's certainly where you can find us. But until next time, may God bless you and keep you. May He cause His countenance to so shine upon you and give you peace. Until we meet next time. Goodbye.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.